I think I always understood us to be using regular magic, not source magic.
I don't think there's. I mean, I don't think the game does a great job of explaining the metaphysics of that, but I think all magic is source,
I
I
see. The thing
think.
is, but the thing is, the reason why source is bad is because it requires human souls to power it. That's its
Yes.
core evil essence. Like, and it's used by evil people because of its evil roots. Notwithstanding the conversation last time we had about evil people and evil deeds, but obviously people with a lower moral threshold will be more inclined to use source because they don't care about it churning up people's souls. We're depriving
Yeah.
people of an afterlife, basically. And if an afterlife goes on forever, and a mortal life only goes on for a lifetime, then we're doing even worse than killing them in terms of like how many years of life we're removing from them. It's like if you murdered like a 90-year-old person. It's like, yeah, that, don't get me wrong, that's bad. But like, how much longer were they going to live anyway? Whereas if you murder like a child, they've got their whole life ahead of them. You took that away, right?
I never bought that, honestly. I never bought that killing a child is worse than killing an old person. But I think killing is killing. Whether you've got 3 days left or 100 years, like, killing is killing. That gets to, I don't, yeah, when things get utilitarian, I don't tend to agree with
I mean,
Then it gets to, like, it, so by, by that logic, it's better to kill a depressed person than a non-depressed person. Because the non-depressed person will be enjoying their life more. And then that very quickly gets into eugenics.
I mean
Better to
that
kill a poor person than a rich person, because a rich person, has got more freedom and will enjoy their life more.
how much someone enjoys their life is very subjective and complicated, whereas the number of years someone has left to live, how much life you're taking away with a murder. Are you taking away, like, if
So
you do,
what? Quantity, not quality.
yeah, it's a quantitative argument, not a qualitative argument.
Is, but
At no point am I saying that murder is wrong, nor am I saying
on.
that, like,
You're not saying murder is wrong.
I'm not saying that, no, hang on a minute, I'm not saying murder is right, nor am I saying
No.
that, for example, in the legal system, age should be determined on sentencing.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, like, I'm also not necessarily, I don't know, I'm not making a statement on that either way, right? Like,
But you are kind of making an argument that the value of somebody's life is relative to the amount of time they have left. In a on a sort of thingy table kind of way, because might get hit by a bus tomorrow kind of stuff. Which I don't, an old person, like a literal newborn baby, is barely a person and has no experiences or wisdom, or like an old person, not all, like they have experiences and wisdom and blah blah blah. And I'm not, I find it difficult to just reduce it to time,
Oh no, it wouldn't.
timeless.
I mean, there are many other factors. But, like, if you were 90 and you were in some kind of bank robbery situation, and the bank robber was like, "I'm either gonna shoot you, or I'm gonna shoot the teenager over there who's just opening his current account for the first
Yeah,
time."
no. I wouldn't. Okay, that's not a fair situation, because I hope I would always put myself forward rather than the other person, regardless of who they are. I'm not saying I necessarily would. I'm saying I hope I would. Better to sacrifice yourself than somebody else. But if it was my choice, does the teenager die or does the 90-year-old die? I wouldn't. I def not definitely wouldn't default to the 90-year-old.
I mean, we've reduced it to a trolley problem,
Kind
haven't
of. Yeah, where there's a lot of years lying on the track.
I mean, don't get me wrong, like a 90-year-old, I don't know, like, I don't know what other factors, because, like, I can't say, well, this teenager is like, and I'm like teenager, or say like 15 or something. It's like, well, they haven't had enough time to establish how, anything. They haven't had enough time, in my opinion, to make any kind of value judgment on their life. And yeah, someone who's 90, I mean,
I just think it's one of those accepted wisdom things that it's okay. It's more, you know, it's less bad to kill an old person than a young person. I never
felt
that.
But both of those badnesses reach the threshold of like being the top level of bad. They're both in the Premier League of being bad.
Yeah.
Like we are quibbling at, you know, we are like, it's the rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic of morality, right?
Well, that's the thing. My position. I've always thought, I don't know, again, I don't know how well this would hold up in real life, but what I've always thought is, like, if somebody said, you've got to choose which one I kill, otherwise I kill all of you, you know, that it's typical action film.
Yeah, yeah.
Dilemma. I would just refuse. Like, no, that's not the trolley problem, because you're a conscious being asking me that. If you choose to kill all three of us, that's fucking on you. I am not choosing somebody to kill, because then I'm culpable, and I will not be culpable for that.
See, there's the big if, that the rules presented to you by this action movie setting are as they are described. You're basically trusting the honesty of a murderer.
Yeah, yeah. But if we assume they're being honest, and if I don't give them an answer, they'll kill all three. I'll say, well, I'll choose me. And if they go, no, you can't do that, I would refuse to engage.
What if it was a robot?
Is it like a
true trolley problem? A robot, like it's a buggy robot. AI has gone amok. Yeah.
Honestly, So it's basically trolley problem, but there's one person on both rails and also.
Yeah, an old person and a young person, basically.
If I do nothing, it goes down both rails.
Yeah.
Like this double slit experiment. If I do something, I can block one of the tracks, let's say.
Schrodinger's trolley problem.
Then yes, I would block one of the tracks. I would save one of the people, because I would see it that way at that point. But I would not consider age. I would literally like flip a coin or something. I don't think it's fair to consider age. And this isn't because I'm old. I've thought this since I was young. That doesn't seem like a way to measure a light, the value of life.
I can't articulate
why, but it just doesn't feel right.
I feel like the extremes, like two people who are just basically, you know, middle-aged-ish adults, then it doesn't matter, in my opinion. I mean, I don't know if it matters at all. But like, but when you contrast it with someone who has their whole life ahead of them and someone who doesn't, like, can you even be scarred for life at 90 years old? What if something really horrible happens to you at 90 years old, right, that just traumatizes you for the rest of your life? But like, you're not scarred for life, right? Like, you're scarred for, like, I don't know,
you're
10 years
of your life. I know it's the accepted wisdom that whole life ahead of you, that's the way it's phrased, but it doesn't hit with me.
You are right about the fact that it glances eugenics, because I remember my former MP and good number of years ago getting into hot water for saying something like, should the NHS really provide so much care to the over 80s?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it does. And then, you know, we lean into the, you know, when you get to a certain age, you kind of really owe it to your family and society to, and like, that's Nazism. It really is.
Because you come down very strongly on the side of being against euthanasia.
Yeah, but for that reason.
Yeah. Whilst on the other side, you are very much in favour of the youth in Asia, as I understand it.
not to the point of going on holiday to Thailand, but yes.
No, not that. No, I mean just like yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I love the way that you phrase that.
Just to clear everything up.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, a life isn't valued on age.
Mm.
It's how much. I think a lot of it is just
To make this sillier, do you kill a 3-year-old Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
Like, not literal Hitler, just, you know, this kid is clearly a neo-Nazi. Versus 80-year-old who's the opposite. What's the opposite of Hitler?
Spanish anarchist?
80-year-old. Like 80-year-old, like, great composer or great artist or great thinker or something who's, you know, still churning out good works.
How a 3-year-old neo-Nazi. I mean, are we sure this 3-year-old just doesn't want to be like a caterpillar when they grow up or something? Like,
intentionally silly, because, like, I mean, I even struggle with the. Like, basing it on something like that, oh, this person's values are closer to mine, therefore they're more worthy. I don't believe that. I don't like dehumanizing even Nazis. If somebody's doing active harm, like, you know, that CEO in America, you know, the what's his face CEO?
Oh, the United Healthcare guy, yeah.
Yeah, he is, you know, he is a cog in a machine that's doing harm. He is a person who's profiting from doing harm. So, you know, you can construe that as a self-defense act. But if somebody just holds particular beliefs versus these particular beliefs that I agree with, that doesn't come into it for me either. I'm not more okay if that person dies. A human life is precious, sacred, but regardless of, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, beliefs are very, very, it's what you do with those beliefs that matter, right? Like the United Healthcare guy, he was his job was to deny as much healthcare as possible.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. You know, whereas because a lot of liberals will, you know, dehumanize, you know, just Trump voters in general en masse, you know, and, you know, imply things like they should all be fucking killed and stuff. And I think that is incredibly dodgy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and also it's like it's a difference. There's a world of difference to some guy just sitting in a pub going, "Oh, well, maybe privatized healthcare is a more efficient system," versus someone who is just.
I often think of my granddad, who you know, fought in World War II, you know, played a part in defeating Nazism, and was an astonishing fucking racist and homophobe.
Mm.
A lovely person. Otherwise, I mean, you can question whether somebody can be a lovely person and a racist, but, you know, it was. It's a lot of received views from, you know, the usual excuses, you know, of the time, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, that's only defensible up to a point, because there were lots of people who understood that racism was bad at that time. But, you know, he was a lovely granddad, you know, lovely person, but he was horribly racist and homophobic. You know, it's people are complicated.
Very complicated, yeah. Yeah, I mean...
voted Labour his whole life. You know, voted left for the most left-wing option at every election, but
And I mean, like, you know, yeah, like me and Rosie sometimes talk about this. Is like how like a lot of people are, for example, a lot of people are in the reform boat, largely due to like political illiteracy. Not necessarily, you know, they are bad.
I think that can be a bit patronizing. I think that can get patronizing. I know what you mean, but I think that can get patronizing. I think people generally know their own conditions and know what they need. I think that, for me, the reform phenomenon is they are the ones acknowledging the problem. They've got the wrong solutions, but they are at least acknowledging problems that exist, and the liberal parties are just ignoring them. So I think it's people recognizing problems in their own life, seeing somebody talking about them problems, and naturally thinking, you know.
Yeah, but the political illiteracy starts coming in when the fascist talking points, you know, like not recognizing fascist talking points.
Yes, but I would say if that's political illiteracy, the overwhelming majority of people are politically illiterate when they keep buying, you know, the consensus centrist lines. They are equally politically illiterate. You know, more of the same. That's wrecked everything for the last 50 years, thinking that's a good idea. You know, the lesser of two evils arguers, the blue no matter who arguers, they are equally politically illiterate and more fucking dangerous, because that's literally what got us here.
I mean, maybe.
But then is that me just going, everybody's politically illiterate except for the ones who agree with me, the socialists? You know, am I just doing that?
Hang on a minute. I'm thinking.
Is everybody doing that from their own point of view?
I do
believe that socialism happens to be correct. Society presents certain problems, and socialism gets the answers to most of them right, objectively. That is my belief that is objectively true. But that is obviously a subjective belief.
I think the where I come at it is that a lot of the reform stuff is a grift, right? Like,
yeah, I mean, that is
there's a difference between being believing yourself, you know, believing in a political ideology and just being wrong versus falling for a grift. I think that's where like my definition of political illiteracy comes in. It's like Reform are fooling people into thinking that they're a people's party.
Yeah, again, that applies to the centre.
People
into thinking this is how you strengthen the economy, blah blah blah. This is how we have a stable society, when in fact that's not happening. It's deteriorating quite rapidly, and they're just, you know, enriching CEOs.
I think this is different, because I think that the centrists genuinely believe that what they do brings a stronger world.
They absolutely do not. I do not believe that.
So you
maybe
say,
like Thatcher? Yes, she believed it.
Mm-hmm.
Blair. Yes, but since then it's so demonstrably untrue.
Well,
and they
then
must be aware that they're acting against the public interest, against the public wishes, and, you know, broadening the wealth gap, increasing inequality, you know, like those things are concrete.
I'm not sure. I don't know. I don't know. But I don't know whether to weigh down on bad political instincts or malice. And when I say malice, I mean like deception. Like they're going, right, how can we take away more from poor people and give more to rich people? Like
I think most, in terms of voters, I think, yeah, it's they're being deceived. But in all of those cases, with both Reform and with, you know, anybody who's still committed to voting Labour or Lib Dem or Tory, they're mostly being deceived. On the part of the politicians, they're all grifters, yeah. Or 99%.
Yeah. I mean, assuming, you know, if I accept all of the arguments you've made there, then I would see what I want to say is the centrist grift if we say what you say is true as a given, the centrist grift is a better grift.
In what way?
You mean
morally better, but in what way?
No. That it's like it's not as brazen.
More effective.
I mean, you can just look at the Reform grift. It's quite transparent, right? They're lying.
Yeah, but we are relatively comfortable. But even me, we're relatively comfortable people and well educated, which does lean into what you're saying. But I think that very much just depends on your material conditions, the culture around you, and your material conditions.
Most Reform voters like homeowners, homeowning boomers.
I don't know about most. That demographic has certainly gone to them, but so has, you know, the northern poor town. You know, the north is poorer than most of Eastern Europe, the north of England. Mm-hmm. Places where austerity for however many, you know, 20 years has decimated public services, and, you know, that is where they put all the immigrants, which has further decimated what little public services were available. And for people in those communities, immigration is a problem, and there's one party saying so. Now, immigration isn't the problem, but it is compounding, you know. I think it's easy for us to say, you know, I really want to write an article about immigration.